All right, Rabbi Osai, good morning. Let's begin. We're going to pick up actually from the top of Daf Ayin. Today's Daf is Ayin. We're starting from Ayin, top line. Top line. So Rabbi Osai says the Gemara, L'chaz Azisa. So we're going to spend a little bit more time with the remedies, and then not too much more time, and then we're going to get into just some generally beneficial behaviors. So the Gemara says the following. So top of Ayin, 70, first line. L'chaz Azisa. So we'll say Chaz Azisa means some type of moist blemish. Rashi says yalefes. Yalefes is like a boil, but it's a type of boil that has a moisture on the inside. So lechaz azisa, leisi shev chita arzenaisa. You should take 7 plump wheat kernels, v'naklinhu, and you should v'naklinhu amirasa chadasa. And I have to compose myself. And go ahead and roast them on a brand new shovel. And then some oil is going to come from that from those kernels. And one should rub that oil again upon the affected area. Actually, Rav Seim Bar Ashi actually used this remedy of roasting the plump wheat kernels for a Gentile, actually for an idolater, the Davar Acher, who was afflicted by Tzara'as. And amazingly enough, it worked for Tzara'as as well. Amar Shmuel, said, Hai man demachu le ba'alunki. So one, ba'alunki de bar, sorry, excuse me, someone who was injured by being stabbed with a Persian spear. Now, what's in that? With the chaf with the Persian spear, Rashi says, "Rebaluchi parsoi binuchli shaparsoim shemetzarfin also b'me sam hamavis." Apparently, when the Persians forged their spears, they would go ahead and forge it in poisoned water. So the idea was that if you got stabbed by a Persian spear, you'd be afflicted by the you'd be affected by the poison. So if somebody goes down and gets stabbed by a Persian spear, lo chaye. Not gonna live, right? So the Gemara does not really mince words over here. It's not looking good. So you're not going to live. But however, adahachi vahachi, but if you want to go ahead and perhaps get a few extra moments of life, so let's remember again, when in doubt, what do? Nesfule, I'm sorry, bisra shmina agmuri, v'chamrachaya. Eat some fatty meat and undiluted wine, and as much as that is not going to cure the impact of the poison from the Persian spear, at least it will add on a little bit more to your life. I think even if it doesn't add on more to your life, right, at least you will enjoy those last few moments a little bit more. So the Gemara says the following. So after the Chayipurta, Umafkida basin. And most of this is an incredible thing. So the Gemara says, in all seriousness, that as much as the fatty meat and undiluted wine is not going to cure the poison effects of the spear, what it will do is it will give you a few extra moments. And what will you do with those few extra moments? You'll be able to instruct your household. Most says it's a very important yisod. Just I'll tell you as an aside, the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu, you know, the first person ever recorded to get sick in the Torah, I should say, the first recorded case of sickness in the Torah is Yaakov Avinu. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that before Yaakov Avinu, people used to sneeze and they would die. Yaakov Avinu was one who davened for sickness. So why would Yaakov Avinu daven for sickness? So the Gemara says, in order that people should have an opportunity to instruct their household. That again, if you can imagine, people would just drop dead. They would just die instantaneously. Now, the bracha of that is, there's no protracted illness. The sad part about that is that a person didn't necessarily have an opportunity to get their affairs in order. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu davens for sickness in order to give people the opportunity to get their affairs in order. So over here, the Gemara says, if a person, Nebuch, is stabbed by the Persian spear, as much as there is no cure for that poison, if you could prolong your life just even for a few minutes to allow you to instruct your household, there's incredible benefit to that as well. Amar Avidi Bar Avin, Hayman de Bala Zibura. Similarly, if someone goes ahead, and so as Rabbi says, Zibura literally means a bee. In this context, it usually means a hornet. So somebody goes in and swallows a hornet, mechaye lo chaye, person is not going to live. However, adahachi vahachi, nashke revi'asa dechala shamzog, if a person drinks a revi'as of strong vinegar, afshar dechaye purta, a person will at least be able to prolong their life a little bit, umafkid lebeisei, and they'll be able to go ahead and instruct them. So we'll say, even if you can't, there's also an incredible Muslim here. You know, sometimes in life, you can't change the bottom line circumstances. Right? Sometimes, again, a situation, it is what it is. But even when you can't change the bottom line circumstances, you could always try to maximize those circumstances. So if you're stabbed with a Persian spear, if you swallow the hornet, a person's going to die, says the Gemara. But at least you could do something to maximize those last moments. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Achal basa shor balefes. If a person goes ahead and eats ox meat, lefes is with a turnip. If a person eats ox meat with turnips and sleeps outside in the light of the moon on the night of the 14th or 15th of the month, bitekufas tamus, during summertime, achazaso achilu, a person will be seized by achilu. Now we'll say achilu, we're going to see, is also some type of sickness that's associated with some type of spirit. So the point is, person eats ox meat with turnip, sleeps outside in the moonlight on the 14th or 15th of the month during Tekufas Tammuz, summertime. It's not good. A person is going to be seized by achilu. So the Gemara says, Tana, we'll discuss achilu in just a moment. Tana, v'amali kreisam mikol davar, simply one who fills his stomach with anything. In other words, if a person eats to the point where they're totally sated, achazaso achilu, person will be possessed by achilu. Amra papa, v'afilu mitamri, even if a person eats his fill from dates, he could also be seized by achilu. So the Gemara says, Peshita. We'll say we're on Daf Ayin 70a, four lines down in the wide lines. In the wide lines, about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, about 13, 14 lines down from the top. So the Gemara says, so Peshita. That's obvious. Meaning again, why does Rav Papa have to tell me? Remember also, follow this flow. The Gemara just said, if you eat to the point that you're totally full, person can be seized, bless you, person can be seized by achilu. Rav Papa comes along and says, even if you eat your fill from dates, you could also be seized by achilu. So the Gemara says, pshita, meaning, I understand, what does it matter, dates or anything else? Sakadait chamin, the hoil ba amar mar, since mar said, tamri, masban, mashchan, mishal shalon, uma ashran, dates have very unique qualities. What are the unique qualities of dates? Masman, dates satiate an individual. Mashchanan, they warm the body. Mishal shalon, they're good because they clean out the system. I forgot what the word is. A diuretic, right? Like a diuretic or a laxative, right? They clean out the body, right? Uma ashran, and I will say ma'ashran, Rashi says, nos nos koach. They give a person general koach, v'lo mafankan. Now, listen, here's the interesting part. You see, dates do all of these things, but they don't make a person into a mifunak. So, right, what's a mifunak? A very fastidious, delicate, pampered individual. So dates are a good food because essentially they give you, it's like a commercial, right? They give you everything you need, but they don't go ahead and make you into a pampered individual. So the Gemara says, I would have thought, therefore, perhaps dates are the one thing that you could eat your fill of, and it's good, and the achilu won't have any negative impact. Kamash malon, no. Kamash on that, even if you eat your fill of dates, still it could have this detrimental impact of the achilu. So the Gemara says, my achilu, what is achilu? Amar Rabbi Elazar, ish shalat samos, fire of the bones. Says the Gemara, my ish shalat samos, what does it mean? Fire of the bones. Am Rabbi Ish Garmi, bone fire. Very helpful. Right? Sounds like a conversation with my kids, right? So what is this bone fire? So this seems to be some type of internal fever, and therefore, again, apparently, again, one should go ahead and therefore avoid eating to the point that they're totally satiated. A person should leave. Well, see, you should know this concept, by the way, of not eating till you're totally satiated. We saw this in Brachas as well. Just out of certain health concern. Also, remember again, the Gemara Maseches Brachas brings it down also Zeche LeChorban, that there's a certain concept that's one of the things that we do perpetually to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash is we don't eat exactly to our fill. I mean, I could be full, but not to the point of being totally full. So the Gemara says, so Amar Abaye Shkami, Maya Suse, what is the cure? What is the cure for this bone fire, for this achilu? Amar Abaye, Amar Li'aim, my mother said to me, Abaye goes on a bit of a tangent over here, Kulu Shakaini, Tlasa v'shiva utresar, v'hai Ademasikulhu. Look at Rashi Rabbos for just a moment. Kol shakaini, kol mashkin shadam shosel revua, yeshlem minyan yom lishtosam. Yeshwen gimel, yeshwen zan, yeshwen yirbe. So, Abayisa, my mother told me that generally, when you drink anything for medicinal purposes, generally medicinal drinks are either consumed for 3, 7, or 12 days. However, again, this cure that you drink for achilu, vahai, ademitsi kulu, ademitsi. But this cure, even though the Gemara didn't tell us yet what the cure is, but this cure for achilu, you drink it until you're totally healed. Kulu shakaini, alibare kana. Furthermore, generally, whenever you drink something for medicinal purposes, you generally are supposed to drink it on an empty stomach. Vahai, basar da achal vishasi va'ayla lebeis akise, vindafik umashiyadei. But this cure, this remedy that you're supposed to drink for achilu, you're supposed to, first of all, drink it on a full stomach, and only after you go to the bathroom, and come out of the bathroom and wash your hands. Umay sile buna deshesisa de tavchi, ubuna dechamra atikta. So we'll say, so what's the cure? So the Gemara says, you take buna deshesisa de tavchi. Look at Rashi. Buna deshesisa de tavchi, male egrof, min shesisa shem ma'achal ha'asui mikamach adashim u'melach. You take a handful of shesisa. Both say shesisa, actually we saw this in Barachas also. Shesisa is a dish that was made from the flour of lentils mixed together with salt. Often shesisa, the Gemara is like deluxe shesisa, is mixed in wine afterwards. We'll discuss it as well. So you take a handful of this lentil flour powder, or I should say, it's lentil and grain flour. You take a handful of that. So that's umaisle buna de shesis tavchi, ubuna de chomra atikta, and then you take a handful of old wine, benigvalinhu, and you mix them together, bahadi adadi, with one another, benechol, and you eat it. And you eat it. And then what, so I will say, so again, I take a handful of lentil and grain flour, mix it together with a handful of old wine, and I consume that mixture. Then what? This is very interesting. V'nechuch b'sedine v'nigne. Then I should wrap myself tightly in a blanket, and I should go to sleep. V'leka dinukme adikai minafshe. We'll say, can you imagine this? And you should go to sleep, and sleep, and no one should wake you up. You should just wake up on your own. Who could imagine such a thing like this, right? Mamish, sleep until you wake up on your own. Dafka, no one should wake you up until you wake up on your own. V'chikai, when you get up, lishkalei l'sedine mine, quickly remove the blanket from you. V'ilo, because if you don't quickly remove the blanket, hader iluye. Ultimately, again, the fever, the bone fever, will come back. So we'll say, essentially, what it sounds like over here is, sounds like what you're doing is you're sweating out, right? You're schwitzing out the bone fever. And again, in the eyes of Chazal, I guess some of this got absorbed into the blanket. So the idea is sleep it off as long as you can, right? And then once you get up, just take the blanket off immediately so that, again, that bone fever, I guess, doesn't get absorbed back into the body. Amar le Eliyahu le Rabbi Nosson. Listen to this. So Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rabbi Nosson, listen to this advice. Echol shalish, ushesei shalish, bahanach shalish. So eat 1/3 of your fill, drink 1/3 of your fill, in other words, and leave the stomach, leave 1/3 space in the stomach. Why? L'chishetichos ta'amud amiluach. This way, when you get angry, you'll be totally full. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. L'chishetichos v'yemale bitnecha. When you go ahead and you get angry, and your stomach becomes full, v'yemale bitnecha kas, ta'amud amiluach. Avalim timale me'echa achila ushasiya, l'chishetichos tichos tibaka. This is amazing. Apparently, again, when you get angry, that fills your stomach. Rabbi says, isn't it incredible you sowed? We know when you get angry, what happens? A person is filled with anger. Anger is something that consumes an individual. So says Elio, you know what you should do? When you eat 1/3 of your fill, drink 1/3 of your fill, and make sure to leave a little bit of your stomach empty for anger. This way, when you get angry, at least it won't detrimentally affect your body. Because if you're totally full and you get angry, Rashi says, tibaka means what? That means you're going to explode. So, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Harotze Shelo Yabi Lidei Choli Me'ayim. So, Rabbi Chiya said, someone who does not want to come to Choli Me'ayim. So, we'll say, Choli Me'ayim literally means like intestinal illness, stomach illness. Someone who doesn't want to get to have a stomach illness. Yehei Ragil B'tibo Chayit Kayit B'choref. So the Gemara says, you should be regular. You should be regular. But Tibo Rashi says, Litbo bechometz opasme. You should always dip your bread in vinegar or wine. If you always dip your bread in vinegar and wine, both during the summer as well as the spring, ultimately, again, you'll maintain a healthy constitution. So the Gemara says, Sudascha, Sudascha shana ascha mimenu, mashoch yadcha heimenu. This is interesting. Whenever you eat, never eat to the point that you're fully sated. In other words, let's say what this is really referring to over here is overeating, right? The idea is that eat to the point that you're comfortable, that you're sated, but don't eat more than that. And when you have to use the bathroom, don't delay. Don't delay. Aramar ukva, haiman deshasi tile chivra, ach zasu visik. Someone who drinks tiyula chivra. So we'll say, what's tiyula chivra? So Rashi says over here, tila yayin ra. So we'll say, so this is white wine. You have to understand something. In the eyes of Chazal, white wine, and again, it's not just the eyes of Chazal, this was a societal issue. White wine was inferior wine. White wine. So somebody who goes ahead and eats and drinks tiyula chivra, who drinks, again, bad white wine, achzaso visik. So we'll say, he will be seized by visik. Visik Rashi says chaloshos, weakness. Someone drinks bad white wine, ultimately again will be overcome by weakness. Amrav Chisda, shisin minei chamrei havu ma'alyo. So we'll say there are 60 different types of wine that are beneficial for the individual, but the kulhu sumka reichana. The best kind of wine is red aromatic wine, right? Red wine that has a beautiful smell as well. Griya tekulu, the worst kind of wine, tilya chivra, white wine, right? White, literally, well, white bad wine, white inferior wine. Amar Rav Yehuda, hayman diyasev betziparni nisan gabinura. If somebody will say in the mornings of Nisan, sits, meaning in the mornings of the month of Nisan, sits opposite gabinura, sits opposite a fire, v'shayif mishcha, rubs himself with oil, v'nafik, and then he goes out, v'yasev v'shimshan, goes out and sits in the sun, achazasu v'sik, will be overcome with weakness. I'm about to say, now understand, Yomei Nisan is already the beginning of the spring summer. So what it's saying over here, it's already warm. You're sitting opposite a fire, which warms you even more. You're rubbing yourself with oil, which warms you even more. And then you go out to sit in the sun, which warms you even more. In other words, you're overheating. You're overheating. So if you go ahead and you overheat, what's going to happen? Achzaso bisik. Ultimately, again, you're going to be seized by incredible weakness. Tana Rabbanan. Hikiz dam v'shimish mitaso. So if a person engaged in bloodletting and then engaged in relations, havin lo banim viskin. A person will have very weak children. I'm also have to understand, this reflects another idea, which is that Chazal understood that, and this, by the way, is true on a physical and even on an emotional, spiritual level, that your state of being, physically, your state of physical health, impacts the nature of the children that are conceived from an act of relations. So therefore, again, Chazal felt that if a person did bloodletting, and therefore they're weak, ultimately, again, that weakness will transfer to their children. But you should know this is also true on an emotional, spiritual level as well. For example, Chazal, right, that we actually learn this, that if a man has relations with his wife, thinking about another woman, that ultimately negatively impacts his children. A man has in mind to divorce his wife, but he still has relations with her, negatively impacts the children. This idea, and I will say on a spiritual level, we can understand this much more. Because kavanas that a couple has during the times of relations that result in conception absolutely have an impact on the neshama of a child. That's the whole concept of mamzerus, right? This idea that the kavanas of the parents ultimately, again, do impact the vlad. Here the Gemara is talking in a very, what they felt was a very physical way. If I'm compromised, if a man is compromised because, again, he did bloodletting and then engaged in relations, ultimately it impacts the children. If both the man and woman both did bloodletting, vishimshu, and then they had relations, havya lahen banim bali rason. They will have children who are afflicted by rason. Now she says over here, bali rason, chaloshim harbe, Machmas Sheishlan Sheretz Bimoach. So they'll be excessively weak. Again, he's actually describing some type of condition because of some type of parasite or organism in the head. Amra Papa, lo amran ela delo toimidi. Now, when do we say that if you have relations after bloodletting, the children are weak? That's only if you didn't eat anything after bloodletting. Aval toimidi, but if you had your cup of apple juice right after you gave blood, right after you did the bloodletting, then lemaisa, again, it doesn't negatively impact the children. If a person came from a journey and immediately had relations, habin lo banim viskin, he will have again weak children. We'll say again, remember, travel in the eyes of Chazal was an exceptionally depleting process. Therefore, same idea. If a person is weakened after they travel, we'll say, remember again, I want to be clear, this is not talking about, you know, Amtrak or or the plane. Here the Mamash is talking about again. I mean, that is tiring as it is, but again, I will say they're talking about real travel, caravan, animals. So a person comes back, has relations, ultimately impacts the children negatively. If someone comes out of the bathroom, person should not have relations until he waits the shear that it takes to walk a half a mil. And I will say, so just to understand how much that is, the assumption is a mil is 2,000 amos. Chazal understand that it takes, a person, Rashi brings this down, takes a person 18 minutes to walk a mil. Therefore, half a mil is 9 minutes. So again, therefore, the Braisa says over here that when someone comes out of the bathroom, he should wait 9 minutes before having relations. Why? Mipnei sheshed beisaki se melave imo. So going back to our shade them a little bit, because there's some shade that frequents the Beis HaKisei, that shade ultimately accompanies him for chatzi mil, for the amount of time that it takes to walk half a mil. Vim shimesh, and if a person had relations within that time that it takes to walk half a mil, habin lo banim nichpim. And I will say, now nichpa also, it's interesting, if you look in the Jastrow Dictionary, translates nichpim as epileptic. Right, children with epilepsy. So whether it literally means epileptic or whether it just means, again, another form of weakness. Tana Rabbanan, Hamishamish mitaso mu'umad, if a man has relations standing up, achzoso avis, he will be seized by cramping. So they will say, this doesn't seem to be anything spiritual. This seems to be Chazal, we're talking on a physical level. Mi yushav, if a person has relations in a sitting position, achzoso delario, ultimately, he will be seized by delaria. And I will say, we'll discuss what delaria is in just a little bit. He milamalo, vuhu milamato. If the woman is on top and the man is on the bottom during relations, ochzaso delaria. Also, again, they'll be seized by delaria. My delaria, what is delaria? Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, sam delaria dardra. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. The Gemara never defines what delaria is. Listen, I just want to be clear, just an important point of halacha. The Gemara is not saying that these things are usur, right? Because remember, again, we saw in Ksuvis already that halacha is when it comes to matters of intimacy. So most things are permitted as long as there's no ashchas azar, as long as there's no emission of seed outside of the body of the woman. So different positions or different things are permitted. The Gemara is just talking, the Gemara is not weighing in over here about what's permitted, what's not permitted. The Gemara is just saying that these different positions have some type of physical impact on the individual, on not just man, on the man and the woman. So the Gemara says, before the Gemara even defines what delaria is, the Gemara says, oh, what is the remedy for delaria? Dardura. The remedy for delaria is dardura. So the Gemara says, my dardura, okay, that's nice, right? What is dardura? Amar Abaye, moriki morika duchuchi. It refers to saffron that grows amongst thorns. So of God, apparently, if you eat the saffron that grows amongst thorns, it takes care of the delaria. Rapapa alis ubalale, rapapi alis vishadile. Rapapa used to eat the saffron for its benefits in these situations. He would eat it and he would swallow it. Rapapi would chew it but would spit it out. Amar Abaye, Sabaye says, "Mi she'eno baki bederech eretz." I will say now, this is a fascinating idea. Derech eretz means intimacy. So it doesn't mean somebody who's not a baki in derech eretz, so it doesn't mean someone who's not proficient in intimacy. Rashi says over here, this is quite interesting, "She'en lo koach l'shamish," he doesn't have the energy for intimacy. But I will say what this is referring to over here is someone who's impotent, right? Someone who is unable to engage, physically unable to engage the Gemara is talking about, we'll say, the original cures for erectile dysfunction. It's amazing. No, this is really an incredible idea. So the Gemara is saying someone who's impotent, someone who doesn't have the ability to engage ultimately again in intimacy. So what should he do? Lacy gimel kafizi kurtami dechuchi. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Kurtami dechuchi. So Rashi says, Kuruk hagodl bekarka mizovel mizubal bezevel hatson. So we'll say, so a person should take three kafizi, three handfuls of kurtami dechuchi. So this, remember, kurtami we just saw before is saffron. But dafka saffron that grows in a field that is fertilized by the manure of sheep. So not just any saffron, but dafka again, saffron from a field that was fertilized by sheep. What should you do? V'nidu kinhu, go ahead and grind it up. V'nishkelinhu b'chamra, boil it in wine. V'nishten, you said drink it. Well, so you understand what this is? You understand what this is? The original Viagra. I'm saying this. No, Mamish. I'm saying no. Just this. You understand? This is what Chazal was saying. It's not a joke. I mean, I'm saying on a serious level. Chazal is saying over here again. First of all, so you also understand. This is a very important hashkafa as well. How important again intimacy is within a marriage. How do you know that intimacy is important in a marriage? Because if it wasn't important, Chazal wouldn't give the man the remedy for erectile dysfunction. You understand? If it's here, it's because Chazal understood how important this is for a marriage. So again, you take the saffron that dafka grows in a field that grows by sheep manure. You grind it up, boil it in wine, and again, that'll take care of everything. Am Rabbi Yochanan, hey, listen to this, it's amazing. This is like a commercial. Am Rabbi Yochanan, heim hichziruni lena'arusai. This remedy, it returned me to the vitality of my youth. So as I said, this is my Michigan. I'll say, just so you understand also, you say to yourself, Rabbi Yochanan is not like embarrassed to talk about this kind of stuff. So no, we'll say, Tori, Balil Modani Tzarech. We'll say, this is amazing. Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, I had this problem. I took this remedy and Baruch Hashem returned me to the vitality of my youth. Amazing. Shloshet dvarim machishim kocho shel adam. Listen, by the way, you notice we skipped all of these sugyas in yeshiva, right? That is amazing. How many of us would start learning so much earlier in life had we only learned gemaras like this? So says the gemara, Shlosha dvarim machishim kocho shel adam. There are three things that diminish the strength of a person. The Elohim. This is actually a very profound Gemara. This is general vitality. They sap the vitality. They sap the strength of a person. What are they? The Elohim. Pachad. Fear. Right? Generally, living in fear. Rashi says over here, Pachad. Listen to this. Shedoig daga. Shedoig al dabar ha'asid. A person who's constantly worried about the future. Kigon tirud mizonos o pachadir. We'll say, you know what? There are some people who are always worried about what's going to happen. Right? So I'll say, so what happens? If you're perpetually worried about what's going to happen, then what? Then what? Ein lo dover sof. If you're worried about every single what if. What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? You know what? It's quite possible. And I will say, and what's the answer? What's the answer to those types of fears? There is no answer. Because you can't plan for every single what, right, saffron. Right. What if? So we'll say, so this is Gemara saying, people who have this daiga, people who have this fear, it saps your vitality. Now Rashi specifically says, it's talking about over here, kigon tir mizonos parnasa. Well, so you know, a person could be perpetually worried about parnasa. Why? Because even if I have parnasa now, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? So you could worry about these things. And again, there's no answer. There's nothing that could settle your mind. It saps the vitality. Derech, traveling. Traveling goes ahead and again saps a person ultimately again of their vitality. Va'avon and sin. The Bosse Rashi points out over here. I'm sorry, if you look at Tosis, the Doso says, Derech va'avon, da'agas ha'avon, inami onesh ha'avon. So Tosis says, now sin, Pashup Shat just means that sin takes away vitality. Tosis says, worrying about the ability to sin, or if I did sin, worrying about, again, the punishment of sin, those are things that sap my vitality. So Gemara just brings a pasuk to support each of these ideas. Tichsiv, I'm sorry, Elohim, Pachad, Derech Vavon, Pachad, general fear. D'chsiv libi secharchar azavani kochi. Literally, my heart is overwhelmed. My strength has left me. Derech travel. D'chsiv ona b'derech kochi. Avon sin. D'chsiv kasha ba'avoni kochi. So again, I also want to point out these are very profound gemaras that we don't do justice with in Daf Yomi. But just to understand, these are things that people get preoccupied with. Pachad again. Fear of what's going to be in the future. Derech, travel. Understand, you know, the Maharal says, what does travel mean, by the way? Travel means change, right? When you travel, you go from one location to another. What's one of the things that takes an incredible amount of koach away from people? Fear of change, right? Anything, any derech, anytime I have to travel somewhere else, and ultimately sin, whether it's the commission of sin that ultimately goes ahead and saps a person of their vitality, or it's once I've committed the sin, the fallout from sin, but these are all things that seem to sap the vitality of a person. Shlosha dvarim, matizin gufo shel adam. There are three things. I will say, matizin literally means like tear down. This, three things that destroy, that deconstruct the body of a person. The Eluhain, these are they. If a person eats standing up, I will say these are things that literally take a physical toll on a person. Person eats standing up, b'shasamud, drinking standing up, b'shimesh mitaso mu'umad, or has relations standing up. Chamisha krovin lemisa, yosem min achayim. There are five things I will say that if a person does them, ultimately he brings himself closer to death than to life. If a person eats and immediately after eating stands up, right after eating stands up, shasa va'amad, the person drinks and immediately afterwards stands up. Hikis dam va'amad, the person does bloodletting and immediately stands up. So yashan va'amad, a person wakes up, goes to sleep, wakes up and immediately stands up. Shimesh mitasa va'amad, a person has relations and immediately stands up as well. In other words, so any of these immediately standing up after these activities has a detrimental effect upon a person. Shisha ha'osa osam miyad mes. I both say if a person, now six things that if a person does them, he's going to die immediately. Now understand what this means. What this means is, if you do all six of these things in rapid succession, a person will die. And what are they? Number one, Be'elohein. Habo baderech. A person comes ultimately from the road. Vinit yageya, and they became worried. Hikis dam. They then did bloodletting, and then immediately afterwards went into the bathhouse. They drank wine, and they became inebriated. They slept on the ground. And then after all this, they had relations. If you do these six things, Rabbi Yochanan, in succession, you will die. This is only if you did these six things in this order. Suppose I say, if you did three of these things, it's fine. Two of these things, it's fine. Four of these things, it's fine. Five of these things, it's fine. Or if you did all six of these things, but in different orders, it won't have this effect. I'm going to buy Kisidron Mace, Shalok Kisidron Chalash. Rabbi says, if you do these six things in this order, a person in Chas HaShalom dies. Out of this order, a person just becomes weakened. Ini, is that so? Vaha, but yet, vaha mu'uras avdalela avda tlas minahu, but yet mu'uras was a woman. She subjected her servant to three of these things, umis, and he died. So you see from here that even three of these things ultimately could kill you. Hahu kachu shava. This guy, that servant, that slave was very weak to begin with. So because he was very weak, three of these things killed him. Okay. I'm sorry. No, it's actually not machlokes. No, so it's saying all six. I'm sorry, we paskin lahalacha. Don't do it. Don't do it. Right. So six. If you do. So again, the way the Gemara is, it's no machlokes. The Gemara is the difference in metzias. Six of these things in order ultimately again will kill the person. These things out of order will weaken a person. But apparently, if a person is already of compromised health, even some of these things in rapid succession could kill them. So Shmona, Reuben, Kasha, Miut, and Yafet. Rabbi said there are eight things where if you do a lot of it, if you have a lot of it, excess will kill you. I shouldn't say will kill you, excuse me. Excess has a detrimental impact. Umiut and Yafet. But a little bit of these things is actually very beneficial. Says Merve Elohein, where are they? Derech, Elohein, Derech. So travel. Rashi says, Lahalich bidrachim. So to travel a lot is very difficult upon a person, but to travel a little bit is good. Derech Eretz, Rabbi will say, Tash Mishashi says, intimacy. So too much of it, again, could weaken a person, but a little, but in moderation is good. I should say, mi'utan doesn't mean a little bit. Mi'utan just means in moderation. So moderation is good. Osher, what's this amazing? Wealth. Rashi says, mi'uta yafa, a moderate amount of wealth is good. The rubo kasha, too much wealth is not good. Why? Shemevatla mitalmud Torah umagbia levavo. Because we'll say what happens. So remember again, so if a person has marbe nechasa marbe daiga, a person has too much wealth, they're going to be preoccupied with managing that wealth. So that ultimately is mevat of the Talmud Torah. It takes away time from learning. Umagbia levavo, and ultimately could cause arrogance. So excessive wealth could be detrimental, but moderate wealth is very good. Melacha, right? Ultimately, again, work. Yayin, wine. Shina, sleep. So we'll say all of these things. Work is good, right? Work is very healthy. Too much work ultimately is mevatel Talmud Torah. Wine in moderation is good. Too much wine in inebriation. Shin, Rabosa, is very important. Sleep, right? Sleep. Too much sleep, Rabosa, you know, if you sleep too much, it makes you into a mefunak. It makes you into a pampered person. You need to have your sleep. You don't need to have your sleep. We all get by with just enough all we need, right? So in moderation, it's good. Too much ultimately creates a sense of being pampered. Chamin, same thing ultimately again. Warm water, bathing. Rashi says, lirchots v'lishtos, bathing and drinking. So again, too much warm bathing. Moderate warm bathing is good. Too much creates too much of a pamper. I will say, so a lot of these things you understand, when you say that too much is not good, it's because it creates too much of a pampered lifestyle. And if a person becomes too pampered, you know, we'll say, it's very easy. We all see this in life, that sometimes it's easy for something to transition from being a luxury to a necessity. How does something transfer from being a luxury to a necessity? So consistency. So if something happens once in a while, it's a luxury. If it happens all of the time, then it becomes a necessity. So that's what the Gemara says. All of these things are good in moderation, but not again in too much. Akaz Azdam, bloodletting. So the same thing. Bloodletting, again, now this happens to be a health concern. So too much bloodletting is not good. Once in a while is good. Shmona mematim es hazera. The Bible says, this is interesting. There are eight things that decrease the zera, decrease the semen of man. Now whether this means that it decreases sperm count, or it decreases ultimately, again, the actual, maybe it's also potency. I don't know exactly which one this is referring to over here. The Elohim. These are the eight things that both say that diminish the zera, diminish the semen. The Elohim. Hamela, salt, ra'av, start, meaning not eating enough. Nesek, both say nesek is like a tzaras, like a skin blemish. Bechia is interesting. Crying. Shina agarbe karka, sleeping on the ground. The good gonios. So we'll say good gonios is coriander. So apparently too much coriander is not good for one zera. The kishos shalo bismano. Kishos shalo bismano. We'll say kishos are hops. So eating hops out of season is also not good. The hakazas dam bloodletting. Excuse me. The hakazas dam lemata kiflaim. And literally doing bloodletting from below. We'll discuss what that means. Is doubly detrimental. So okay, so the Gemara says, Tana, so all these things are detrimental for the Zera. So Tana, Kishim Shekasha Lamata Kiflaim, Kach Yafa Lamala Kiflaim. The same way that bloodletting from below is doubly detrimental. So bloodletting from on top is doubly beneficial. So the Gemara says, what is the Omer Papa? So our Papa says, Lamata Lamata Min Abeitzim, Lamala Lamala Min Abeitzim. We'll say, what does this mean? Bloodletting from below means bloodletting from below the testicles. Bloodletting, now again, this doesn't mean just from, this means bloodletting from any part of the body below the testicles, below the beitzim, apparently is detrimental. Bloodletting from any area of the body above the beitzim, above the testicles, is doubly beneficial. The kisha shlo bizmano, so what does it mean when you eat hops? Not in their right time. So the Gemara says, kishim shakasha shlo bizmano, kach yofa bizmano. So the same way, if you eat hops out of season, it's not good, it's detrimental, but if you eat the hops in season, it's very beneficial. Amar Papa, what is the Zman? Amar Papa, Zmano Tamus. The best time hops are in season, I both say, when? Tamus, summertime. Shalob Bizmano, when are they not in season? Teves, the winter time. So the Gemara says, Yomi Nisan, the Yomi Tishrei, lo ma'alu v'lo kasha. So what I say, so apparently, if you eat hops during the summer, Tamuz, they're beneficial. If you eat hops during the winter, Teves, they're detrimental. But if you eat hops during Nisan or Tishrei, apparently it's neutral. It doesn't have any kind of impact, positive or negative. Fine. So says the Gemara. So Amr. So now we are back. We are back, right? So now we are back into the world of Gemara, back to the world of Gittin. This was a wild 3-day journey, Baruch Hashem, between Friday, 2.5 days, Friday, Shabbos, and half of today. But now we're back again to the cases of the Mishnah. So remember again, the Mishnah said, Amru, Amar, Kisu get le'ishti va'achzu karidaikus. So that's how, you know, that's how we got into all of this, because of karidaikus. Right? Remember again, the first Mishnah of this parak spoke about that if somebody said, Kisu get le'ishti, write a get for my wife, and then he was seized by the shade karidaikus, and then he said, no, don't write the get for my wife. So what did the Mishnah say? We don't pay attention to his second words, to his second statement, because once he's seized by karidaikus, his words become meaningless. So that's how he got into the whole thing with shadim. So the Gemara says, Amru, so again, so what did the Mishnah say? Man said, write a get for my wife, and then he was seized by karidaikus, and he said, don't write the get for my wife, ein dvarav ha'achronim klum. In other words, we still go forward and write the get. Shabbos said, now the Gemara requires a passing machlokis. Amru Shimon Lakish, kosvin benostin get la'artel. Shabbos said, here's what's interesting. So let's play this out. So I'll call him Ruvain. Ruvain says to two witnesses, guys, I want you to go in and write, sign, and deliver a get for my wife. Fine. Then he's possessed, he's seized by karidaikos. And then when he sees the karidaikos, what does he say? Don't write the get for my wife. So what does the Mishnah say? We don't listen to him. So we'll say, okay, so now he's seized by karidaikos. So the shaila is now, so what do we do with the get? Do we write the get? Now, so Reish Lakish says, kosvim benostin get la'altar. We write and we deliver the get for his wife immediately. Even though now he's currently seized by karidaikus, meaning he's mentally incompetent now, but we still go forward with writing the get and delivering it now. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. In kosin ela kishe yishtapa. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. We don't write the get until when? Until he gets healthy again. In other words, that as much as we don't pay attention to his second statement, we are not going to write and deliver the get until he's healed from karidaikus. Says the Gemara, my time, the Reish Lakish, supposed to have an end of machlokes. What's Reish Lakish's logic? That we can write and deliver the get now. Diktani, because the Mishnah said, ein bidvarav ha'achronim klum. Because what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, we pay no attention to his second statement. So meaning when he tries to negate, when he tries to cancel his instructions to deliver the get, we ignore him. So because we ignore him, Reish Lakish says, the get process moves on. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yochanan will say to you, Ein bidvarav achronim klum. That is true. His second statement canceling the get is meaningless. What does that mean? Delechi mitzel lotzarech lemehadr im luchebe. What that means is when he is healed, we do not have to consult him again if he still wants us to deliver the get. But uli olam, but Rabbi Yochanan Pasan Zabal said that what? The husband has to be in a solid state of mental capacity in order to be able to deliver the get, or to be able to give the get. So Zabal says, see, understand this machlokis? So Reish Lakish will say, look, the fact that the Mishnah said his second statement that he said when he was seized by karidaikus is meaningless means that the get process continues. Even though the husband has absolutely no mental capacity now, the process continues. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The process comes to a grinding halt as long as what? As long as the husband does not have capacity. Once the husband is healed, we can then continue the process. And the novelty is what? We need not reconsult him once he's healed to ask him, do you still want to do the get? Rather, we assume that the process continues on. So am I coming up with you? What are they arguing about? So we'll say it's actually quite fascinating. Reish Lakish Madam Leliyashin. Reish Lakish compares a man seized by karidaikus to a person who's sleeping. To a person who's sleeping. And therefore, again, just like the person who's sleeping, Rabosai. So imagine the following situation. If Reuven says to two witnesses, I want you to go ahead and write and deliver the get to my wife, and I'm going to sleep. So are the two witnesses permitted to go ahead and continue the process even while he's sleeping? Of course. Reish Lakish says, a guy who has karidaikus is like a guy who's sleeping. Therefore, again, we go ahead and say, continue on. Rabbi Yochanan medamile l'shoteh. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that a guy who has karidaikus, he's like a shoteh. And therefore, again, the process is on hold. Is on hold, meaning, again, remember, anything he says when he has karidaikus, we don't listen to, but the process is paused until ultimately, again, he is healed. Rabbi Yochanan, why don't you compare the guy with karadaikas to someone who's sleeping? Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Yoshein lo mechusar maisa. See, a person who's sleeping, Rabosai, there is no maisa necessary to bring him out of his state of sleeping. However, again, a guy who has karadaikas, a maisa in action that is necessary to cure him from the karadaikas. So what's the action? The action is, remember, lean meat roasted on coals with watered down wine. That is the cure necessary to bring someone out of karadaikas. Reish Lakish, namin nidni elishote. Why doesn't Reish Lakish compare the guy who has karadaikas to the person who is a shote? Shote lo samya biadon. Hai samya biadon. Reish Lakish is a shote. His cure is not in our hands. But this guy who is suffering again from karadaikas, we have the ability to cure him. What's the cure? Like we just said before, bisra sumka admuri v'chamra marko, lean meat roasted on coals and watered down wine. Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan haki. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Meaning, did Rabbi Yochanan say that if someone is afflicted by karadaikos, we can't continue the process of writing the get until he's healed? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshulabos, listen to this. Shachut bo shnayim o rov shnayim. If a person of Osai had both the esophagus and the windpipe cut, chas v'shalom, or the majority of those two simanim cut, v'amar, and with his last bit of strength, he says, kisvu get le'ishti, write this get for my wife, hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu. So people hear this. Again, remember, this guy is compromised. Compromised, shein kamo, is compromised. But if the witnesses hear him give this instruction, he should write. They could write and deliver. They get the battalion. Similarly, we learned in a brisa, ra'ua meguyot. It was a meguyot means if they saw the guy cut up into pieces, and he gives the instructions, write the get. Otsalov. But say tsalov literally means crucified. Right? In these cases, the guy is about to die. Tsalov alatzliba. The ramaz, and he literally gives ramaz, meaning he motions. Va'amar kisvu get lishti, and he says, write a get for my wife. Hare elu yichtabu v'yitnu. These witnesses are about to say what? They should write and deliver the get. So what do you see from here? Now, this is the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Yochanan, even someone who's in a compromised state, who gives instructions to write the get, we what? We listen. Now, we'll say, if that's the case, then even in this case over here, now this, our case of karadaikos is even better. Why? Because the guy issued the instructions to write and deliver the get before he was seized by karadaikos. Now he's seized by karadaikos. Rabbi Yochanan should certainly allow for the process to continue even when he's seized by karadaikos.
No,
but that's not even our case. This is even better. Remember again, in our case, he's given the instructions before, now he's compromised. If Rabbi Yochanan allows for the get to take place in a case where the guy has the majority of his simanim cut, certainly should allow it in this case as well. So the Gemara says, Hachi ashta asam daite tzilusei, viki chushta hu da'as chilibei. It's different. In this case, where the husband Nebach had two of his simanim, the esophagus and the windpipe cut, or chasham is cut up into pieces, he's being crucified. But say his das is clear. His das is clear. It's just that he's physically compromised and unable to fully, clearly, verbally articulate himself. However, in our case over here, where the husband is seized by karadaikos, his das is compromised. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yochanan holds, I feel that in the case where his das is compromised, you have to put the process on hold until when? Until again he becomes mentally competent again. So the Gemara says, Hacha daitu shigashtihi. Umi amar shmuhachi. So we'll say, did Shmuel literally say this? That if a person literally was on the brink of death, and he went ahead and he said that Lamaisa again, right against our life that we listen. But Shmuel said, "V'hamar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, shachat bo shnayim oro shnayim ubarach." So we'll say, if a person went ahead and had two of the simanim, the majority of the simanim cut, he had his windpipe and his esophagus cut, mi'idin alav. So we'll say, people could testify about such a person that what? That he was dead. In other words, they could testify that he was dead, and through that testimony, allow his wife to remarry. V'yisak adayitcha chai who am I meeting up? Supposed to listen to this. You understand? Shmuel's statements are contradictory. Because Shmuel said before that if a guy who has his windpipe and a safik is cut, and he says, kisvu get lishti, or he motions, kisvu get lishti, that's what? We could write a get on his behalf, which indicates that he's alive. Yet Shmuel said that if two people saw an individual who had the majority of his windpipe and esophagus cut, that's what? They could testify, that's what? That he's dead. So I don't understand. If he's alive enough to go ahead and give a get, how could they testify that he was dead? To which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, chayhu, amayim idin alav, amri, chayhu, v'sof olamos. What it means is, you're right, when they see the guy who has the majority of his esophagus and windpipe cut, even though when they saw him he's alive, they could testify that what? That after a certain passage of time, he is dead. Meaning, that is a non-recoverable injury. Meaning, you can't live with that. So they could testify, we saw him while he was in the last moments of life, but that was 2 hours ago, that was a day ago, that was a week ago. We know for sure now that he's dead. Elame'ata yehe gulal yodo. If that's the case, Rabbi said that someone certainly dies from such an injury, then halacha should be that if a person accidentally cuts the windpipe and the esophagus of another person, meaning a person accidentally kills another person from doing this, that they should go to gallus. They should be exiled as an accidental killer. But yet we learned alama tanya shachat bo shnayim orov shnayim hare ze eino gola. Rabbi said we learned that if Reuven accidentally cuts the windpipe and the esophagus of Shimon, that for such an accidental act, Reuven does not go to gallus. Reuven is not exiled. So the Gemara says that, but again, we'll say, if we're saying that that's the type of injury from which you certainly die, then if Reuven inflicts this upon Shimon, then what? Accidentally, then he should go to Golis. Yet the halacha is that you're not exiled for such an act. Because in such an injury like that, someone Chas Hashem has the majority of the windpipe and the safig is cut, there's a concern of ruach bilbalto. The wind. If a wind blows, that could hasten a person's death. In other words, we're both saying the only time that an accidental killer is exiled is when he is fully responsible for the death of the individual. But if there are other factors, other contributory factors, then contribute to the death of the individual, so the person who perpetrated the act is not exiled. So therefore, again, if Reuven accidentally cut the esophagus and windpipe of Shimon, the reason why he's not exiled is because it's possible there's a wind that blew, and that wind is what hastened his death. Chashin shama charuach babato, inami hu kireves misaso. Or also the other possibility is Shimon, who had his esophagus and windpipe cut, he hastened his own death. How did he hasten his own death? Because we'll say if a person moves around too much after having the windpipe and esophagus cut, then what happens? He hastens the death as well. So we'll say, what's the practical difference in these two cases? So the nafkamina would be if Reuven cut the two simanim of Shimon in a house of marble. We'll say a house with marble walls apparently prevents winds from coming in. But Shimon moved around. Inami, or Reuven went ahead and cut the two simanim of Shimon outside where there is a wind, but what? Shimon didn't move around. So in these cases, we have nafkamina. So we'll say, just you should know, this is an interesting halacha, als galus. You only go to galus for killing someone accidentally when it's clear that it's your act that caused the death. But if it's possible that there are other contributing factors, then the mice again, the person is not exiled for killing this individual. Halacha the mice, we'll say, how do we pass skin like this? Meaning, in the case of karadaikos, so if the husband gave the instruction, kisvu get l'ishti, write a get for my wife, and then he was seized by karadaikos. So how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskin is like Rabbi Yochanan, that halacha lemaisa, as much as whatever he says when he's seized by karadaikos is totally, we don't take into account, meaning it's considered to be like nonsense, but we wait to execute the get until when? Until the husband is of sound mind. We don't do it. We wait. The husband has to be of sound mind for the execution of the get. This is only by karadaikos. So remember again, now the assumption, by the way, of karadaikos is you could heal him. We'll see in other cases where you can't heal him, we'll see what we can do. In the case of karadaikos, we want the husband to be of sound mind when the get is executed. The chiddush is that when he is healed, we need not reconsult with him. Do you still want to do this? We assume that the original directive stands, but we must wait to execute to get until it becomes Rabbah. Let's just do a few more lines. So remember, the Gemara goes back to Nishtatik va'amru lo nichtav get l'shtachar. So remember again, we'll say, if Lamais, again, the man went ahead and became mute, and we say to him, do you want us to write a get for your wife? And what happens? He nods his head. So the Mishnah says, nodding is only beneficial if what? If we know that he knows what he's nodding to. So remember, the Mishnah said, we give him a series of questions, and if he nods no to the no questions, and yes to the yes questions, that proves that what? That he has das, that he is of sound mental capacity, and therefore when he nods to the question, do you want us to write a get for your wife? That nodding has proper implications. Well, so maybe he's got some kind of twitch, right? Maybe he's just going like this, right? Or he's going like this. And you're asking the questions, you think that he's answering, but indeed he's really just twitching. So the idea is, we ask him a series, serigin means in units, we ask him a series of yes questions, and a series of no questions. So he has two twitches. He has one twitch that goes like this, another twitch that goes like this, and the timing of the twitches just happens to line up with the questions you're asking as well. To which the Gemara says, no, damrina le chadlav, utrein hein. We ask him one question to which the answer is yes, or the answer is no, excuse me. Two questions to which the answer is yes. Train love, and then two questions to which the answer is no. V'chad hein, and one question to which the answer is, in other words, what do? We mix it up. So therefore, we'll say, if the guy has a twitch, it's going to become very apparent very quickly. So therefore, we mix up the questions, so that this way, again, it's clear if indeed he has, bless you, if indeed he has mental capacity to be able to answer the questions. Debate Rabbi Shmuel Tana. The way we test him, says Rabbi Yochanan, or says Rabbi Shmuel, is we ask him seasonal questions. So we ask him during the winter if he wants certain things from the spring, and certain things from the spring if he wants it during the winter, or during the summer, excuse me. Zegmar says, what does that mean? So we'll say, if you want to say that, it means like this, that during the summer we ask him, would you like a coat? Or during the winter, we ask him if you'd like linen sheets. We'll say, apparently, linen is a lighter material. During the summer, they would use linen sheets instead of heavier blankets. See, if you say that during the summertime, we ask him, do you want a coat? Or during the winter, we ask him if you want linen sheets. And we say, oh, if he answers yes to the coat in the summer, that means what? That means what? That he doesn't have capacity. You can't do that. Why? Lechosh dilma kora achde, inami akhama achde. Maybe Rabbi say during the summer he's been seized by a chill, and that's why he wants the coat. Or maybe during, during the winter he has fever, and that's why he wants the linen blanket. So it says the top of Ayin Aleph. Rabbi says finishes. Elo bepiri. Rather, Rabbi say what we ask him is about seasonal fruits. We ask him in the winter. Rashi says over bepiri she'im la mitzuyim ba'osa shaki. Go in Syrish, we most like Yisham, we most like Chama. So most like, so what we essentially, what we do is we ask him during the winter if you want summer fruits, and during the summer if you want winter fruits. If he says during the winter that he wants summer fruits, what does that show? That he doesn't have das. So therefore, so we'll say, so what's interesting over here is Rabbi Shmuel says it's not just a series of yes or no questions. We dafka give him seasonal questions to be able to attest to his das. But if he demonstrates that he does have das by answering the questions correctly, then his nodding is tantamount to a verbal expression of his das, and would give his wife a get based on the proper nods. All right, they'll both say, stop over here.
My kids have
shikin
this year again.
I'm sorry? Shikin this year, that's right.
The guy's on dead bed.